Welcome to this week's message from A New Church. For more information, or if you'd like to contact us, please visit our website, newchurch.nz. Thanks for tuning in, and we hope you enjoy this message.
I love Easter. I love the story of the cross, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus. Jesus is no longer on the cross. It has finished. So I want to share about that this morning. My message is entitled Paid in Full. So it goes right back to the beginning of the human race in Romans chapter 5 verse 12. It says this, when Adam sinned, sin entered the world. Adam's sin brought death, so death spread to everyone, for everyone sinned. So often people are pointing the finger at God when things go wrong and they're blaming him for the mess of this world. We don't have to point our finger at God. We're the ones that have caused all the trouble. It was because of the sin entering the human race because of Adam and Eve's disobedience. And we can't even blame only them because it's all of us. It says in the scripture, for everyone sinned. So Adam sinned, sin entered the world, and Adam's sin brought death. In Genesis chapter 3 verse 21 it says, and the Lord God made clothing from animal skins for Adam and his wife. This is the very first implied death in the history of mankind. Adam and Eve sinned. They felt shame. They wanted to cover over themselves. And God had to kill an animal in order to get the skins to cover over the shame and the sin of Adam and Eve. It was the very first implied death. And there's a principle that runs all through this, is that there has to be the death of an innocent party to cover over the sin of a guilty party. The blood of an innocent animal had to be spilled to cover over and to atone for the sin of the guilty one. There needs to be a sacrifice of an innocent one to cover over the sin of the guilty one. We saw that right back in the Garden of Eden. And God taught the Israelites this, that there needed to be the death of an innocent one to cover over sin. So he instructed Moses to set up the offering and the sacrifice system. And we can read this in Leviticus and the book of Numbers in the Old Testament. It's hard going at times. It talks all about the sacrificial system. But it sort of paraphrases this in Hebrews chapter 10 verse 1 and 4. The old system of living under the law presented us with only a faint shadow, a crude outline of the reality of the wonderful blessings to come. Even with its steady stream of sacrifices offered year after year, there still was nothing that could make our hearts perfect before God. For if an animal sacrifices could once and for all eliminate sin, they would have ceased to be offered and the worshippers would have clean consciences. Instead, once was not enough, so by the repetitive sacrifices year after year, the worshippers were continually reminded of their sins with their hearts still impure. For what power does the blood of bulls and goats have to remove sin's guilt? They had to keep killing these animals to cover over their sin. And the blood of these animals just couldn't wash away their sin at all. At best, it could only cover over temporarily their sin and their guilt and their shame. They had to do this over and over and over again. Once was never enough. Just imagine if you were a priest in those days and you were an animal lover at the same time. Just all these cute and cuddly animals having to be sacrificed to cover over the sins of the guilty people. It wouldn't have been very fun. So we know that there needs to be blood spilled of an innocent party to cover over sin, but whose blood could take away sin once and for all? It couldn't be an animal. We've just established that. Had to be human. Someone had to be human to be sacrificed. Not someone who sinned, because it had to be a perfect person. So someone who was sinless. And we just read at the start of this message, everyone sinned. So pretty much wipes out all of the human race. Not immortal. It had to be someone who was divine or God, because death couldn't hold this person down. They couldn't just be sacrificed. They had to rise again from the dead to break the curse of sin and death. So not an animal, someone who was sinless, not immortal, immortal. So someone had to be all God to be able to be the perfect sacrifice. And not just all God, this person had to be all man as well to be the perfect representative for all of humanity. Not just the priest offering the sacrifice, but the sacrifice being offered at the same time. So it had to be someone who was all God and all man at the same time, because only someone who was all God and all man could reconcile man back to God. Not an animal, had to be human, had to be sinless, had to be God, had to be all man at the same time. Could there be such a person in all of eternity, in all of the universe? Well, we were reading from Hebrews chapter 10 before, and I just want to carry on with that passage of scripture, going from verse 4 again. For what power does the blood of bulls and goats have to remove sin's guilt? Verse 5. So when Jesus, the Messiah, came into the world, he said, since your ultimate desire was not another animal sacrifice, you have clothed me with a body that I might offer myself instead. Sinless, all God and all man. Multiple burnt offerings and sin offerings cannot satisfy your justice. So I said to you, God, I will be the one to go and to do your will, to fulfill all that is written of me in your world. Was there, in your word, was there someone who was sinless and all God and all man? Absolutely, his name is Jesus. In 1 Peter 1, verses 18 and 19, for you know that your lives were ransomed once for all from the empty and futile way of life handed down from generation to generation. It was not a ransom payment of silver and gold, which eventually perishes, but the precious blood of Christ, who like a spotless, unblemished lamb was sacrificed for us. Jesus was and is the perfect sacrifice. His blood just doesn't cover over sin. It washes sin completely away and makes us completely whole. Isn't that incredible news? That's why it's called the good news. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 10. I love the book of Hebrews. It says, by God's will, we have been purified and made holy once and for all through the sacrifice of the body of Jesus, the Messiah. Yet every day priests still serve, ritually offering the same sacrifices again and again, sacrifices that can never take away sin's guilt. But when this priest had offered the one supreme sacrifice for sin for all time, he sat down on the throne at the right hand of God, waiting until all his whispering enemies are subdued and turn into his footstool. And by his one perfect sacrifice, he made us perfectly holy and complete for all time. What cleanses us from all sin? The blood of Jesus, and only the blood of Jesus. There is no other substance in all of history, in all of future, in all of eternity, in all of the universe that can wash our sins completely away. It's only the blood of Jesus, the most precious substance in all of the entire universe. And Jesus spilled his blood for you and for me so that we could have relationship with him. That's how much he loves us. As Jesus died on the cross, his last words were, and we translate this into English, it is finished, or it has been fulfilled. It's actually an accounting term. Tetelestai is the original language. He cried out to Tetelestai, and it actually means paid in full. It's an accounting term. It's like in the olden days before online banking and stuff, you'd go in and you'd pay off a debt and they'd stamp it. They'd say it's paid or paid in full. That's exactly what Jesus was saying in his last words as he died on the cross. Tetelestai, it has been fulfilled. It is finished. It has been paid in full. It is finished. Just imagine, we've got a house mortgage, and that day is going to be so incredible when we finally pay off our mortgage. But we'd go into the bank or whatever, how we would do it, and we'd pay off the mortgage, and just that amazing feeling of it's been paid. We don't have to pay any more mortgage back. It's finished. And then I go home and we celebrate. It's like our house is finally ours. And then a few days later, I can't sleep at night because I'm feeling so guilty. It's like, I got to pay more off our mortgage, and I just got to keep adding to it. So I go back to the bank the next week and go to the bank teller and I say, I know I've paid off my mortgage, but I need to pay off some more. And they're thinking, what, you're crazy. You've already paid back everything. You can't give us any more. It's finished. It's been paid in full. You don't have to repay us back anything. And anyone would think, Simon, you'd be an idiot if you had to keep on paying back stuff. But Jesus died on the cross and he rose again. His blood is the ultimate sacrifice. He has paid the price for our salvation in full. We can't add anything more to that. It has been fulfilled, paid in full, once for all time. Isn't that good news? It is finished. What was finished? No more sacrificing. No more temporary covering over sin. No more striving. No more works. The curse of sin was finished. Salvation by works was finished. Slavery to sin, Satan's dominion. It is finished. Paid in full. Tetelestai. I love that word. Completely fulfilled. The full meaning of tetelestai actually is completely fulfilled, and the effects will continue on for eternity or indefinitely. It's like once you paid off your mortgage, you don't pay anything back. It's the effects of that will continue indefinitely. It's finished. So in a way, we can say it is finished, but also the effects of what Jesus did has also begun. So it's a finishing and it's a beginning at the same time. This comes out in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I'll read from verse 14. Since we believe that Christ died for all, we also believe that we have all died to our old life. He died for everyone so that those who receive his new life will no longer live for themselves. Instead, they will live for Christ who died and was raised for them. Verse 17. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone. A new life has begun. A new life has begun for those of us that believe in Jesus, that have given our lives to Jesus. We've received his gift of his blood. It's brought forgiveness to our lives. The old life is gone and the new life has begun. So what begins? Wholeness begins. Wholeness, healing, completeness. The word that we translate to English, salvation, we so often think of it's salvation of our souls, and that's a huge, important, big deal, but it's so much more than that. The word salvation in the original language is sozo. It means complete, completeness, and wholeness. So because of what Jesus has done on the cross, we're not just forgiven, but we are made whole completely. So wholeness begins, freedom begins. Who the Son sets free is completely free, it says in the Bible. It's like we've been in this jail cell and we've been imprisoned and in slavery, but because of what Jesus did on the cross, his death and his rising again, it's like he's blown the prison doors wide open. So we're sitting in the prison now and we now can stand up and walk into complete freedom because of what Jesus did for us. We just have to apply it to our lives. Wholeness begins, freedom begins, sonship begins. We truly become sons and daughters of God. Galatians chapter 4 verses 5. God has adopted us as his very own children. And because we are his children, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, prompting us to call out, Abba, Father. Abba is Hebrew for daddy. Now you are no longer a slave, but God's own child. And since you are his child, God has made you his heir. Other Bible translations say that everything God has belongs to us now because we are his children. Wholeness begins. Freedom begins. Sonship begins. We don't have to live life with an orphan, rejected spirit anymore. We become God's sons and daughters. We now have a home. We now have a family. Destiny also begins. In Ephesians chapter 2 verse 10, we have been created new in Christ Jesus so that we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. God's got a destiny. God's got a purpose for every single one of us, and that starts when we give our lives to Jesus. So I love always I get so excited and passionate when I talk about the cross and what Jesus did. Jesus is the central figure of all of our lives because of what he did. The great exchange on the cross is his wholeness, his completeness. He exchanged that for our brokenness and our rejection, and his perfect completeness. He exchanged that for our brokenness, our sickness. We became whole. We became healed. It's such an incredible, incredible thing. And it'll probably take longer than eternity to understand how awesome the cross really is. Jesus' blood is free. We can't do anything to earn it. He's given his life to us as a free gift. So often, sometimes when someone gives you something for free, it's like, well, is this cheap and nasty as well as free? We sometimes have that tendency when something's free, it's like its value is lessened because it doesn't cost us anything. And Jesus' blood is free. He offers us himself as a free gift, but it costs God his life. It's the most expensive thing in all of the universe. His blood is free, but it's the most expensive thing. It is not cheap. Cost God his life. Isaiah 53 verse 5 says, "But he, Jesus, was pierced for our rebellion, crushed for our sins. He was beaten so that we could be whole. He was whipped so that we could be healed." And it's really good for us sometimes to personalize that instead of just saying we, let's say my and I. "But Jesus was pierced for my rebellion. He was crushed for my sins. He was beaten so that I could be made whole. He was whipped so I could be healed." Jesus' blood is free, but it is not cheap. And sometimes people say, "Yeah, I believe in Jesus. He's awesome." But their lifestyle and their behavior sort of contradicts what they say. It's like their behavior and their belief is completely separated. I got an opinion. I don't think that belief and behavior can be separated. I believe that belief and behavior is just like this, because what we believe will always show in our behavior, because we won't be able to help it. What we really believe, what we authentically believe, will show in our behavior. Now, I understand we all stumble at times, but generally, you can tell what someone believes by how they behave. Behavior and belief goes hand in hand. Last week I talked about salvation being like Jesus giving us the gift of himself, and at Christmas time and at birthdays, people give gifts to people that they love and they appreciate. But to really enjoy that gift, if you are the receiver of the gift, you actually have to do something. You have to reach out and take that gift, receive that gift from the giver, for that gift to really be yours, for you to appreciate and benefit from the gift. It's just like the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus has to be applied to our lives in order for us to understand and benefit from eternal life, all the things and blessings that comes from the blood of Jesus. For our sins to truly be washed away, we must apply the blood of Jesus to our lives. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, Corinthians were people that lived in the city or the region of Corinth in the New Testament. And the writer of the book of Corinthians was Paul. So he's writing this as like a church leader or as a pastor to the believers in Corinth. So he says this: "We are Christ's ambassadors," or we are the representatives of Jesus. "God is making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead." So here's Paul, like a pastor, pleading to these people, "Come back to God. For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin, so that we could be made right with God through Christ. As God's partners, we beg you not to accept this marvelous gift of God's kindness and then ignore it. For God says, 'At just the right time, I heard you. On the day of salvation, I helped you.' Indeed, the right time is now. Today is the day of salvation." I don't know if you're watching this live or you're watching it after it has been recorded or it has been shown on Easter. I don't know when you're watching this, but right now, God is speaking to you personally. He desperately wants you to come back to Him. He desperately wants you to come home. That's why Jesus died on the cross, so that you could come home to Him, that you could have a relationship with Him, that you could have eternal life with Jesus. And just like Paul pleaded with people to come back to God a couple of thousand years ago, as a pastor, as an ambassador of Jesus, I'm pleading with you, if you're watching this, if you're listening to this on this Easter Sunday, Resurrection Sunday, and you know you're far away from God, or you've never given your life to Jesus, and you're filled with all that guilt and that shame and that regret and that addiction and that emptiness and loneliness, Jesus' blood, the perfect sacrifice, has been spilled for you, not just to cover over your sins, but to wash your sin completely away. He's done it all. He's paid the price. It has finished. He's giving you the gift of Himself today. You just have to receive it. And you may be still thinking, well, Simon, Jesus doesn't even want me. You should see all the stuff in my life. You'd be appalled. I love what Charles Spurgeon said in another era. He was a great man of God. He said this: there may be some sins of which man cannot speak of, but there is no sin which the blood of Christ cannot wash away. There may be some sins of which man cannot speak of, but there is no sin which the blood of Christ cannot wash away. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses from all sin. He wants to make you whole today. He's offering you the free gift of eternal life and forgiveness.
Thanks so much for listening. We hope it was an encouragement to you. To contact us or to find out what's happening at our church, please check out our website, renewchurch.nz.